The actor Sam Elliott has accomplished one of the rarest of feats in Hollywood careers, longevity. In a career that has spanned over 50 years, the iconic actor with the deep baritone voice has worked hard finding a loyal audience among a wide variety of movie watchers, both young and old. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Sam Elliott was in El Paso in August for the U.S. premiere of his latest film, The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot, and we were able to get him into the studio for an extended conversation about his current work and impressive career. Today we pick up where we left off last week. Well, it is interesting then that we've come back to a campus and to a building that your mother may have been in to have this conversation.
Yeah.
So did she put you on a bus one day and say, go to Hollywood?
No, but I left her standing in the driveway with tears in her eyes almost after my dad died up in Portland and wishing me well.
You show up in Hollywood and start knocking on doors? Or
I'd met a couple of people that I'd met one guy that came and visited his in-laws who lived next door to my mom in Portland, a man named Phil Parslow, who's now gone. But he just finished a movie with Richard Brooks. He was an assistant director, called The Professionals.
Of course.
Which was a great film. And he said, I don't think that he ever thought I was ever going to show up. But he said, here's my phone number. Here, come to Hollywood. Give me a call. And I called him when I got down there. And he introduced me to a guy that he'd graduated with from SC, who was a casting man at Universal. A guy named Bob Thompson. I was working in the construction business as a day laborer. And I used to go from that. I'd get off at 4 o'clock. I'd go home, change my clothes, and I'd go and sit in this guy's office and just watch everything and listen to him talk on the phone. And got to go and do a movie lot, you know, Universal Studios.
Which eyes was wide.
Yeah. Got to walk around the old Western Street and the back lot and all that stuff, and it was a pretty amazing thing for a kid from Portland, Oregon, or Sacramento. Bob ended up sending me to my first agent. My first agent sent me to audition at Fox. Then I auditioned for Dick Zanuck and a couple of other people, and I got signed to a term contract. And it was like I wasn't in town beating my brains out.
It happened pretty quickly.
Trying to get in there, it came. I don't know if people sensed that I was really serious about it. Maybe that. Maybe other ulterior motives involved somewhere along the line that were never impinged upon me, but maybe they were there somewhere. I don't know.
Or you were
distinctive. It certainly wasn't because I was a wonderful actor, you know. And I still don't think I'm a wonderful actor. I'm like you said, I'm like that laconic guy that pretty much does the same thing every time out. But
I don't think that's true, but you
But I've learned over the years. Anyway, that's how I got in there. You know, I really just had tunnel vision about it. I wish my dad could have lived to see that.
You made it.
That I wasn't, you know, this failure or whatever. Or, you know, my dad worked for the Fish and Wildlife Service for the Department of Interior for 35 years. Under Stuart Udall. I think it
sounds
that
like
time.
Another rugged man.
He was a hardcore man. All the men that he traveled with were hardcore.
Do you pattern some of your characters on?
I've thought about him a number of times when I've played parts. I've never ever thought that I was the kind of individual that these guys were. I'm a good shot, but I'm not a hunter. I've never enjoyed killing anything particularly. Shot a lot of birds when I was a kid. Never shot big game. My dad used to go every year and get an elk and get a deer. And we always had some carcass hanging in our garages, you know, whether it was a bird or duck or pheasant or a deer.
I think we had the same childhood.
Yeah. They were real men. They were real men, and they treated women right, and they worked hard and played hard. They knew how to enjoy life, and they laughed and had a lot of fun and played music, and you know, it was a idyllic life as far as I'm concerned, the way I grew up. Not a lot of money. There wasn't a lot of money around. Mm-hmm. And my mom's family, particularly. My mom was born in Barksdale in a cabin with a dirt floor, you know, and it's the forever. Her dad was a cotton farmer, had a little 18-acre parcel down on Polo End Road on the banks of the Rio Grande. And
are you writing all this down?
It's been chronicled by one of my aunts, Eula Sue Sparks, Eula Sue Fisher. And my mom wrote a lot of stuff down. I've got quite a book on it. We had a family reunion here. They had a family reunion here. One of my cousins put this thing together for the kids, the surviving kids. The sisters and the brothers are gone. The nine are gone, but there's a few of us cousins still around.
And still in El Paso, I understand.
Still in El Paso, and yeah, Sarah's up in Belton. Sarah's up in her husband. She's the one that chronicled this thing. And
so you can Sarah a nine-year-old Cross. Who wants to act, that's one thing. Someone who just shows up in Hollywood and gets a few breaks, that's another thing. But to put together a string of performances over 50 years like you have, working in multiple media for so long, you know, I watch a lot of movies, and I've studied movies, and I've read about how movies are made, and I've seen a few being made, and I can understand directing and editing and the technical aspects of it. Acting to me is still one of those grand mysteries of how
to me too
someone like yourself, maybe it's still a mystery to you, but you have actors have this uncanny transformative ability to, you know, disappear on screen into these characters, and it's something that I've never fully understood because I don't possess that ability, and it's like magic to me. I'm thinking of some scenes in your recent films, like your current film, The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot. There's a scene midway through the film. We've clearly seen you carrying a burden through the film, but we're not quite sure what it is. And you're at your dining room table, and it's an intimate scene. The camera's right in on your face, maybe your shoulders, and it lingers there. And you finally tell the tale of killing Hitler. And throughout that scene, this darkness comes over you and this anger rises, and you see all of the regrets and the guilt, all of that weight revealed to us in your face and in your words. And it's astonishing to watch these scenes and an actor like you just do that.
Kind. I don't know.
You say it's a mystery, but you must have some insights.
It's a mystery why one would even want to become an actor. You know, I mean, you do that so you can escape into this role, or you play better people than you are, in fact. That may be part of it. I don't know. But
interesting.
Back to when we first started, I'm just looking for the truth in a character. I figured if I can find the truth, then the audience will believe what I'm telling them. And in that particular scene, it wasn't an easy scene. It was long. I'm not a great study in terms of the words, reams of dialogue. Robert was sitting right across from me where he's sitting right now when we did that scene. And we worked hard on that sequence. And we were days into the shoot. I don't remember how many days, but we were days into it, and I was ready for it. I think sometimes when in my career that there have been parts, you know, I played this guy John Hill one time. He was a doctor in a show called Murder in Texas. It was a six-hour television thing with my wife and Farrah Fawcett, and this guy had killed both of his wives. You know, about as far off from me personally as I could be. And I've played other parts like that, and they're always fun, and I enjoyed them. But I'm not sure that I ever really got close to him. When you get a part like this, or when I get a part like this that I feel like I can completely inhabit, then it becomes easy. The dialogue becomes easy when it's written the way Robert writes his dialogue, because it's real. It's the way people talk.
Right.
And that, to me, is just, that's the great gift that an actor gets.
Yeah.
It's what's on the page.
You mentioned Brett Haley earlier in our conversation.
Brett's the same way. Brett and Mark Bash, his writing partner, are brilliant writers. And that script that they wrote for me,
The Hero,
it just was incredible. That was born out of a PR trek that we went on for I'll See You in My Dreams. You know, Brett was expecting that Blythe Danner was going to carry the weight, and she wasn't interested in going and doing PR, and I don't blame her. It's not fun because you're traveling a lot.
Right.
And Brett saw that there was an audience out there that responded to me through the course of this travel, and he and his partner sat down and wrote that script. Hmm. It was called Iceberg in the beginning. They sent me a treatment.
The theory was that,
as is with an iceberg, you see what's up on the surface, but you don't see everything that supports what's above the surface. There's a great comparison to be made there.
There really is. There's a good companion.
Between an actor and an iceberg.
I would extol people to go out and see The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot and then also watch The Hero.
Yeah,
it's a nice companion piece and interesting that they are back-to-back literally in your filmography.
Yeah.
Looking back, and I know it's still a bit of a mystery of how you've put this career together and what happens as an actor in these roles, but there'll be people listening to this show who want to be actors or are actors, and you have advice for them? Or you're asked advice as you travel around the country at these film festivals?
I get that question from a lot of people. And the one thing that I'm positive of is that it's more difficult to get into the movie business today than it was when I got there, just by virtue of the fact of the numbers of people there are lined up at the door. There's a long line of people behind me waiting to take my job, and I think that's true of everybody in the movie business. And a lot of them have a lot more acting credits, or not credits, but chops than I've got. They're trained actors. I'm not a trained actor. I just learned on the job. I was very, very fortunate.
The old way.
The old way. And I got to work with some people that I admired, and they responded to me in a real positive way and encouraged me to go on. And that's what I would tell anybody. If you're passionate about it, you have to be passionate about it. I think any pursuit in life today, that if you're fortunate, there's got to be passion involved, because it's painful at times. And you got to have thick skin, because there's a lot of rejection in this game, particularly in the beginning. Mm-hmm. There's more rejection than there is success.
Confidence.
People turn you away. And the trick is just not take it personal. You know, people are looking. They're looking for something. When they're casting a film, they're looking for something specific. And there may be a number of people that can do the job, but you know, for whatever reason, it's sometimes you and other times not you.
I had an old friend, William Shallert, who is a character actor, hundreds of roles and credits, and thousands of voiceover work over a career that spans 70 years. And I asked him that question on the show one time, and he said, "You act because you have to."
That's the truth, too. I mean, that's why I had tunnel vision about it, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I was pretty shy when I grew up. My mom was also very shy. I read that in this collection that Sarah put together when they had this reunion. And there's a lot written about the other sisters and their brothers, but there's like a page written about my mom. And one of the things that's mentioned is that of all the sisters, that she was the most guarded. She played it closest to the vest, and they knew less about her than any of them. And I think that's probably true of myself.
Do you think that's why you wanted to be an actor and are an actor? Because you can come out of that, set that aside for a moment, and then go back to that? Very possibly.
I try not to think about all that. I don't get too deep in any of this stuff, Charles, as you may have noticed.
It's pretty deep to me, and maybe just the way you say it. We hang on every word, as I said.
Thank you. It's trying to understand what I'm saying, probably.
This current film, The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot, as I mentioned early on, you worked with writer-director Robert Kraskowski, this is his first feature film. It takes a lot of a bit of a leap of faith, I imagine, to go into a production with someone who's untested, even though you love the script. And I know you've mentioned Brett Haley. You've done several films with him. Are you at a point in your career where you're actively seeking out working with up-and-coming filmmakers? Or
seeking good material. That's the only thing I'm seeking.
Just been lucky to get some really talented.
Just been really lucky.
Young people.
I love working with young people. You know, I mean, it's much more fun and
right.
exciting to be around young people than a bunch of old birds. You know, I mean,
you can be the veteran on the crew, and everybody
can
look up to you.
I mean, sometimes that's great, and other times I look around and there's no gray hair surrounding me, and I've got all of it, and I think, Jesus, man, I really am getting old. You know,
well, maybe, but I have to tell you, I got quite a few texts from women of a certain age knowing that we'd be on stage and I'd be interviewing you at the Plaza Classic Film Festival, and they were, you still got something going on there that people are responding to.
Thank you.
Well, Sam Elliott, it's been a delight to have you in the studio, and thank you for giving us so much time to just meander around your life and career and your talent.
Thank you, Charles. Like I said, I'm honored to be here.
My guest today has been veteran actor Sam Elliott. Over a career that has spanned 5 decades, Elliott has carved out a body of work in just about every moving image format. And with his latest film, The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot, he's lent his rugged good looks and grounded performance to help launch the career of a new writer-director, Robert Krakowski. We've been discussing Elliott's latest work and his career, and you can hear more of our conversation at ktep.org. On Film's producer is Lauren Terrazas. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.